Hello, this is Monocle Reads. I'm Georgina Godwin. My guest today is Bolu Babalola. Born and based in London, she was previously a producer on BBC Comedy and has won awards for her short stories. Her debut collection, Love in Colour, tells a variety of stories from across the world and has been met with acclaim across the board. Bolu, welcome to the show. You call yourself a rom commisseur. That's such a lovely term. Can you tell us more?
I just have a fascination and a genuine love for rom-coms. And I think because of that, I'm just naturally drawn to like dissecting themes in them and the intricacies within them. And I just watch such a wide array that, you know, whatever you're in interest for, whatever genre within that genre you're in the mood for, I will probably have a suggestion.
And of course, your short story, Netflix and Chill, was shortlisted for a big prize. So obviously, as you say, you're a connoisseur of both Netflix and chilling.
I don't know. I thing is, I do genuinely love Netflix, the streaming channel. But I think, I've always written short stories along that vein, even when I was in school. So when the opportunity to apply for that short story came around, it was just a very natural progression for me.
Mm. I love the idea that you can prescribe rom-coms for sort of people's states of mind. So, for instance, I really love Nora Ephron. I wonder what that says about me and other lovers of that incredible writer.
I love Nora Ephron too. And she writes with such warmth, but also intelligence. And which is why it really annoys me when people disparage the genre so much, because it's it takes such skill to be able to write love in that way that isn't necessarily cloying and unrealistic, and still retains that warmth and that sweetness and that aspirational quality.
I absolutely agree. And that's exactly what you've managed to do here, this book, Love in Colour. Tell me about the inspiration for this, because your stories come from all over the world.
I really wanted to write. I mean, I've always written books that centered Black women. Naturally, I am a Black woman. But also, I just realized generally within the landscape, the mainstream landscape, we don't really see women of color and Black women in love or centered in narratives of romance. And that's really important when you think about how love is universal. A romance is supposed to be this universal thing. And we look at the mainstream representations of it, and Black women and women of color are left out of it. It's a really dehumanizing thing, and people don't really think of it as dehumanizing, and people may think it sounds dramatic to call it dehumanizing, but it is, because love is ultimately one of the most humanizing things.
Absolutely, and you don't have to write books about Black women that also talk about the acacia tree.
Exactly. It's race isn't something that's like adjunct to our experience or something that oppresses our experience in and of itself. It's twined within our existence and within our lives, and it's not something that we... Not as if I go about my day being like, oh, and also I'm Black. Like, it's just something that is.
Absolutely. Let's have a look at some of these stories, because they are beautifully done. So the first one, well, tell us about that.
Ocean. So Ocean is based on Yoruba mythology, and I am Yoruba. Yoruba is an ethnic group within Nigeria and West Africa. And it was just so lovely to be able to discover that part of my heritage, rediscovered that part of my heritage. Like, obviously, I grew up knowing about our gods and goddesses, but I never really delved into it to that extent. So it was just lovely to be able to explore that. And also just lovely with Ocean as well. Ocean is not a very kind, soft, sweet protagonist. She's strong, she's strident, and she's peppy. And I love that about her, because sometimes love is a little bit petty.
Mm. In Scheherazade, which of course comes from a completely different part of the world, it's totally updated. I mean, this is not the Scheherazade that we know.
Not at all. You know, some of the stories I took out themes and then kind of situated them within a different world whilst also rooting them within their context. So with Sher, I call her Sher because I just like shorten her name all the time as if she's like my best friend. But yeah, that was really fun. That was a challenge for me, because I was like, okay, this is a story about a woman fighting for her life because her husband might kill her. How do I keep this kind of threat of life without making it so misogynistic and so abusive? But it was really fun for me to write her as well, because, again, she's a very sharp woman and not necessarily soft. but she's still entitled to love, and she's still entitled to the softness within romance.
And I mean, you do a similar thing in Psyche. Again, you call her Psy, which is fantastic. Her boss is Venus Lucius, and he's her mentor and the fashion editor of Olympus magazine.
Yeah, that was really fun for me to write, because I like to play within the rom-com genre. There's other genres, and you have the workplace genre and things like Devil Wears Prada and things like that. So that was kind of a homage to that. But yeah, it was really fun to delve into the original story and think about, okay, so how am I going to detangle all of this and put it into somewhere that's recognizable and update it a little bit. And also just writing Eros was really a really fun adventure for me, because he's just so smitten, unashamedly smitten.
In Atem, this is again completely different. Tell us about this story.
Well, yeah, I was thinking that we have a lot of Ocean is not so much historical, but kind of fantasy. But with Atem, it was really fun for me to be able to go into kind of almost a medieval African world. I was going to say Nigerian, but Nigeria is a colonial construct. What is true about that area of Africa is it was ethnic groups. And so I was able to dive into the world of the Efik tribe and explore their cultures. And because I'm Nigerian and Efik people are also Nigerian, but we're such a diverse country with so many different cultures and languages. So I was able to write a period piece in a way that I haven't been able to before. And period pieces are automatically in our mind, we're thinking Victorian England, Tudor England. But it was nice to be able to do that in a different world.
It's so clear you had so much fun writing this book.
Yeah, I did. Because the thing is it's got loads of... I made sure that it had loads of joy and hope in it. And even if there wasn't like a direct happy ending, I wanted the theme of the book to be so strong that people could infer a happy ending if they wanted to.
Just like a classic rom-com.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The next one, we're on Ankroba Beach.
Oh, yes. Daya is based on a Ghanaian fairy tale. Or it was not really much of a fairy tale. It's kind of like a moral story, a moral allegory. And the original story was about how a woman went and chose somebody who she wanted to marry rather than who her parents wanted to marry. And a man ended up being like a demon from the land of the damned. And that's where she had to live for the rest of her existence. And it was the moral of the story was, you know, parents know best. But I really wanted to flip that on the head and write about how, you know, maybe parents don't know best, and maybe it's better to follow your heart. And in the original story, she chooses like a very, very wealthy man who's dripping with jewels instead of like the noble man who is a prince but isn't necessarily as flashy. But I just really wanted to invert that in my story and make it a political thing as well, and just complicate that situation a bit more.
For the next story, you go to it's an ancient Soninke legend. So we look at modern Mali, Senegal, Guinea, the Gambia, and southern Mauritania. Tell us more about Sia.
Sia was really, I keep on saying that they were all fun for me to write. I think they were all fun for me to write. But Sia was really one of those that I had got to have fun with, because in the original story, thing is, you have to extricate the romance from a lot of these stories, because a lot of these stories aren't, oh, this is a love story. A lot of them are, you know, just tales of gods and goddesses and wars and origin stories of how people came to be. And with Sia, it was one of war, of fratricide and of sacrifice. So in the original story, Sia was betrothed to Madi, and Sia was described as a virgin damsel, and Sia was her betrothed, and Madi was her betrothed, who was a warrior, and Sia was set to be sacrificed to a seven-headed god. And meanwhile, there's like all this kind of civil war going on. So I was like, okay, maybe I contract that a little bit, make Sia the daughter of one of the kings, one of the people fighting for power, and make Sia the warrior, and make the seven-headed god seven battles, and make Madi her second in command. Because I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with you know, wanting to save someone you love, but there's a problem when it's posited as if the woman is weaker than the man. So I thought it would be a nice flip on it to make them both seek to save each other.
Now, this may just be because I'm not well read enough, but I'm not sure I have ever come across a story by a Black African written about Lesotho.
Yeah, I haven't either. I mean, I've read things about South Africa, but not Lesotho. And that, you know, that was really fun for me to write as well, because I was able to pay homage to the high school genre that I love so much, that I grew up on. But also in writing that story within that region of Africa, I was able to learn so much about that region of Africa. I think it sort of often gets forgotten and overshadowed by South Africa. So I was able to, you know, hit on the intricacies and the specificities of that particular culture.
And then, of course, Egypt, Nefertiti, who everybody knows about, again, a completely different take.
Yeah, so I'm a bit of a history nerd, so it was really an adventure for me to be able to flip on themes of ancient Egyptian philosophy, and obviously Nefertiti was a real person, she existed, but also melding her existence with myth. It was such an acrobatic challenge, but it was so interesting to me because I learned so much, and I had to actually rein myself in within that research because I was just getting in deeper into holes, and I was becoming like an Egyptologist, like, oh gosh, I really want to be like a historian within this arena. But it was really great to be able to personify ancient Egyptian concepts of justice, for example.
And then you go all the way over to China.
Yes, you know. I really just want to make, because obviously I'm African, so I did want to highlight Africa mostly, but I also did want to shine light on tales from around the world. And Zini was another one that was like acrobatic in me in the translation, because in the original story, she's a star. She's a literal star. She represents a star. And I was like, okay, how about I make her a pop star? And she weaves clouds. And I was like, okay, the terrestrial example of that would be to be able to write songs. And so it was one of those things, it was almost like a game for me in the end, like, how can I make this accessible whilst also paying homage and respect to the original story?
The last story is one that readers of Shakespeare will be familiar with, as well as of myth and legend. It's Pyramus and Thisbe. But in this case, well, Thisbe really wants to be Michelle Obama, and it's set around her dorm room.
I wanted to build a world whilst keeping the world really tight. So it really doesn't happen outside the confines of their rooms. But I really wanted to build a really larger than life connection and show how, you know, because they barely see each other, it's just through music and just hints of their personality. And I really wanted to show how something little, how little sparks of connection can grow into something big and really powerful and strong.
And then the book ends with some original stories, but stories that are not based on anything at all. And I love Tiara's top tips, because it tells you how to behave.
Yes. That's really modern and really contemporary. And you know, I'm on social media. And yeah, it was really like an enjoyable experience to write that, because I got to let my voice run a bit free. Like, people who follow me on Twitter, you probably recognize the tone in that. But yeah, and I really also wanted to write a woman. I mean, they all do this in their own respective way, but it was really nice for me to write a modern woman who chooses her career over a man that she loves. You know, it's not that she's lying to herself off. He doesn't really matter anyway. She respects the power of her feelings for him, but she's also like, you know, my career is also important.
And I just love the tips. If you're going to break up with someone, ensure that you do it right before one of you leaves the country. Distance is key to moving on. Well, as somebody who's moved country 5 times, I can totally... I get with that one. It's fantastic. And then we come to Oren.
Yes. Oren, again, is one that... Oren is probably actually my personal favourite, not for any other reason, but it's just like... very purely based on me in a way that the others aren't. It's based on like an amalgamation of like my bad dates, and also I just really wanted to write about, you know, what happened, like, not love at first sight, but the beginnings, the potential of love at first sight, the little buds of love at first sight, the sparks that happen when you meet somebody that you really connect with and you just click and your humor is clicking and you just really enjoy each other's company.
Tell us about the last story in the collection.
Alagamedi, that's based on my parents because I grew up under with a relationship and, you know, they're best friends and I grew up, it's just like I just knew how they met when I was growing up and I just really wanted to pay respect to that because I don't think I'll be writing about love without them and without seeing their relationship and their friendship.
I think it's beautiful, and they clearly were a great inspiration. Balu, this seems to me that this could very easily be televised. And of course, you come from a background of TV production. Are there any plans to film these?
I don't think I can talk about that right now. And also, I'm Nigerian. We just don't speak about things until, like, I think when people see, they'll see. It's the right
Excellent. Well, I really hope it happens because they are just, as I say, really cinematic and beautiful. So
Thank you so
until we
much.
can actually get to that point where we can see them perhaps on the screen, people must grab the book. It's called Love in Colour. It's by Bolu Babalola and it is published by Headline. Bolu, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to Monocle Reads, thanks to the production team of Nora Hull and Charlie Filmer Court. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.